You know, it can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. Invisible struggles like stress and burnout, caregiving for a loved one, or being misunderstood. But insight, awareness, and empathy will help us better see the issues they're dealing with. And that can make us and our companies healthier too. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal wherever you get your podcasts.
And watch on Bloomberg Originals, Bloomberg Television, or BTV Plus.
Bloomberg Audio Studios.
Podcasts, radio, news.
In the small town of Pushkar in northwest India, Divyendra Singh Jadoon is hard at work in his studio. The vibe is kind of similar to a Silicon Valley startup in its early days. Jadoon has set up a small workshop where he and a handful of co-workers create digital content. He's gone from making Bollywood spoofs to creating videos like this one.
Mere pyare Mohit Jain, mere pyare Manoj Bhagat, mere pyare Abhishek Samson, mere pyare Bhagwan Chauhan.
It appears to be Narendra Modi, the Prime Minister of India, but it's actually a deepfake. Jadoon, who calls himself the Indian deepfaker, is using AI technology to make it seem like Modi is speaking directly to individual voters. In that clip, you hear him sub in four different names. He refers to each of them as my dear. The largest election in history just got underway in India, and Jadoon is in high demand. He makes videos like these and AI chatbots for candidates looking to capitalize on a largely unregulated technology to reach a wider range of constituents quickly. And what Jadoon is doing is changing how politicians campaign in the world's largest democracy. And that could have implications worldwide as countries grapple with the disinformation risks that come with AI. This year, the stakes are really high. There are national elections in more than 60 countries, including the U.S., and this technology doesn't recognize borders. Here's another video from Jadoon. You might recognize this voice, even if you've never heard him speak in Hindi.
Trump nahi hu. Rajesh, tum kya kar rahe ho? Main asli Trump nahi hu. Sunita, tum kya kar rahe ho? Main asli Trump nahi hu.
That was a deep fake of Donald Trump from the same public-facing highlight reel Jadoon made that featured the Modi video. In it, Donald Trump is also addressing different people by name and noting he is not the real Donald Trump. On today's show, what a deepfake operation in India tells us about the year ahead when there are elections all over the world and the challenges of regulating this new and fast-growing technology. This is The Big Take from Bloomberg News. I'm David Gura. Really, I promise. Divyendra Jadoon is having a pretty busy year. The 31-year-old has built a business around making deepfakes. At first, his work was mostly entertainment-focused.
During COVID, he told me that he started using a lot of these technology tools where he started making videos and superimposing other celebrities on Bollywood dance videos or superimposing celebrities from Bollywood onto Hollywood movie clips.
That's Bloomberg's Sarita Rai. She covers AI in Asia from her home base in Bangalore.
I mean, really clunky little videos. He showed me a few examples. They weren't really very technically advanced.
Sarita says the advent of OpenAI's ChatGPT made it easier for Jadoon to make higher quality videos. And soon, he saw an opportunity to branch into politics in India, where there's a big demand for AI-generated videos. There are, broadly speaking, two kinds of deepfakes we're seeing in elections this year. There are deepfakes from campaigns who want the next generation AI-driven version of a text message tailored to each voter. The other kind are intentionally misleading videos in which someone's likeness is used without that person's knowledge or consent to influence the outcome of an election. Jadun told Saritha he has ground rules for what kind of work he takes on.
He tells me that he doesn't accept contracts and commissions that come to him directly from candidates. He would rather it come from a digital agency or an AI agency or a contractor or even a political party. But he says usually they come through these intermediaries that are contracted by the mainstream parties. He's definitely not playing sides in terms of his work. He's told me that he's working for practically all the major political parties.
What is the operation that he's built up look like?
He started off as a one-man shop, but he's since expanded because all of the work that is coming to him. The first time I spoke to him, he said he had a couple of workers, and that was a few months ago. And then he told me now he has five other employees who help him make these videos.
Making those personalized videos, like the ones of Modi and Trump, involve feeding an AI model audio or video of a person to capture their voice, facial expressions, and movements.
It takes a few days, up to a week, to train the AI models. But once trained, he can produce these very quickly, like instantly almost, like within minutes, he can make these videos.
Saritha says that in India, politicians are using deepfake videos like Jadun's for voter outreach. It's a relatively inexpensive way to appeal to people all over this huge country directly in a way they can't at big campaign rallies. And that's valuable in India, where there are some 968 million eligible voters.
The level of hyper-personalization that is possible with generative AI, you can just train the model to say the main message and then feed it with thousands and thousands of names, and it will instantly reproduce that same video and sync it perfectly with Narendra Modi calling out each person by name.
The videos are so good, Saritha says, it can be very difficult to discern their deepfakes, especially in a country where technological literacy varies so widely.
These are millions and millions who have their first encounter of any technological device because they have access to a cheap smartphone. They are the ones who have never experienced the internet except for experiencing it or accessing it through this device for the first time in the last few years. So the kind of impact that AI would have in India is certainly magnified because people are so much more vulnerable to the kind of deceptions that AI can be used for. I think that really is the power of these AI technologies colliding with the ubiquity of smartphones and the cheap broadband in a country like India, where otherwise it would be a really expensive exercise to get out and get the message to the voters.
You said that he can work quickly and it's not extremely expensive.
I'd certainly say it's peanuts compared with what physical campaigning will cost some of these politicians. For instance, if Modi flies his a private plane to get to a remote corner of the country, here Modi can address all of those voters with a deepfake personalized, hyper-personalized message for maybe $6,000 or $7,000.
Are you able to ascertain the effect that this kind of technology is having and indeed is likely to have on the election?
Elections were a magical time when all kinds of performers, all kinds of theater, all kinds of stuff came by onto your neighborhood, because that was part of the whole, as we call it in India, the election tamasha, which is the election theater, almost, very theatrical stuff. But when I look out today, outside in my neighborhood, there's hardly any visible sign of an election that is coming up. And in fact, Bangalore, where I'm based, is going to vote in a few days. And there is absolutely no sign of any large-scale campaigning or any overt display of election material. There are no banners, there are no posters, there is nothing of that sort, which was literally what it used to be like, plastered all over the streets, hung on the buildings and everything. None of that is happening today. What I see, and I see that this is a change that technology is bringing about, that a lot of the campaigning, David, is going to be really personalized. In fact, hyper-personalized to the electors.
On Friday, India began 7 rounds of phased voting. The election will continue until June 1st, and we expect to learn the outcome 3 days after that. Modi expects to be reelected, and Jadoon is anticipating a lot of his work will come days before voting opens in tighter state races.
A lot of it is going to reach them via their phones, and a lot of it will be AI-generated material.
After the break, the challenges of regulating the technology behind deepfakes, not just in India, but all over the world.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal wherever you get your podcast.
And watch on Bloomberg Originals, Bloomberg Television, or BTV Plus.
The explosive growth of generative AI and its potential have made it a challenge to regulate. Its proponents tout its potential to boost productivity and, in the case of elections, to reach more voters. But its critics note its pitfalls in an age of heightened disinformation and concerns about cybersecurity. And when it comes to regulation, many governments are unable or reluctant to move fast in the technology's infancy. In the U.S., AI legislation is tied up in Congress. The UK is also debating legislation. China does have rules in place for AI companies, but there's little transparency into how they work in practice. The European Union has passed some of the most comprehensive regulations. These could be a blueprint for lawmakers everywhere. Last year, it adopted the Artificial Intelligence Act, which placed reporting requirements and restrictions on how companies operating in the EU are able to develop and use AI. Bloomberg's Gillian Deutsch covered the debate over that law from Brussels.
I think the best way to look at the way the EU is approaching AI is to see that they're not really regulating the technology itself. They're regulating the uses of the technology. They're required to submit risk assessments to the European Union. And then these kind of more very serious harms posed by AI, for example, assigning social scores to citizens based on their behavior, or even using emotional recognition technology in the workplace or in schools, those are flat out banned in the EU. These are the kind of good enough rules to actually make sure that this kind of scary and obviously very promising technology, the generative AI, those are the correct guardrails that we should put in place.
But Gillian says, in spite of how this bill is framed and its splashy rollout, the AI Act is still limited in scope. There's disagreement over how strict regulation should be, and there's fear that regulation will stifle innovation.
There's also a very kind of quick, sudden pushback from countries like Germany and France saying, actually, that those are too many rules, and actually, Europe is going to shoot itself in the foot. If we are the first out of the gates to place really kind of what we view as very strict requirements on generative AI companies, they will just go elsewhere. They're not going to invest on this continent. And we also need to gain the benefits of AI, not just overregulate based on the concerns. So what ended up happening is really we have more just basic transparency requirements.
Other countries are studying Europe's approach, but many of them are calling on companies to self-regulate. I asked reporter Sarita Rai about this. What does the regulatory landscape when it comes to AI look like in India today?
India has no regulation at all when it comes to AI. Certainly, there have been attempts to regulate deepfakes on social media. That's kind of a roundabout way of getting there. What India's government has done is asked social media platforms such as Facebook and Google to regulate their own platforms. The government has told these platforms that when these deepfakes or AI-generated content hits these platforms and people bring it to their notice, they have only 24 hours to take the content down.
Representatives from Meta, Alphabet, and other tech companies say they're trying to address AI's potential problems. Jillian says experts assert it's hard to know how big a role deepfakes will play in determining the outcome of elections in 2024.
We don't want to overemphasize how widespread or how impactful deepfakes are, but it obviously has captured a lot of people's attention because this is something very new. It's much cheaper to make. They're much faster to make. They're much more sophisticated than they used to be. And they don't have to influence every single person in a country. You know, a lot of these governments, a lot of these elections are decided on very small percentile differences.
For the time being, voters will need to bring a critical eye to everything they see online. Jillian points out some deepfakes are harder to detect as fakes than others. Many videos still have telltale signs. There could be too many fingers on someone's hand or inconsistencies in how clothing or accessories look.
Audio deepfakes are even trickier to identify. We have, you know, far fewer social cues to see that it's incorrect or that it's been faked.
Saritha says this played out in New Hampshire during the run-up to the presidential primaries there in January.
Robocalls using voice cloning technology, impersonating Biden, asking to vote for a candidate that certainly he wasn't endorsing.
Increasingly, deepfakes are being seen as a serious disinformation threat.
There is a fear about how this technology could be used or exploited in American politics. Is there the same apprehension or anxiety in India about the way that this is being used or could be used? Or is there just a fascination with kind of the whiz-bang nature of this?
Certainly, I think the world over, there are apprehensions of about how these deepfakes can be used to fool or deceive voters. We've seen it happen in multiple countries, right from Indonesia to Pakistan, and even in the U.S.
But deepfake creators like Divyendra Jadun see opportunity, Saritha says. His business is booming. Does he have designs or a desire to take this work to other countries and get involved in other countries' politics?
Divyendra has told me that he has agents working for him in multiple countries, such as Canada, which is going to an election in 2025. I think he certainly is ambitious. India has always been known for technology services outsourcing, but AI and election deepfake outsourcing may now see a new lease of life with the likes of Divyendra, and this might be a new type of outsourcing. So I think he's building a new business model.
This is The Big Take from Bloomberg News. I'm David Gura. Today's episode was produced by Alex Segura. It was edited by Aaron Edwards and Tom O'Sullivan. It was mixed by Veronica Rodriguez. It was fact-checked by David Fox. Naomi Shaven is our senior producer. Elizabeth Ponso is our senior editor. Nicole Beemsterboer is our executive producer. Sage Bauman is our head of podcasts. Please follow and review The Big Take wherever you listen to podcasts. It helps new listeners find the show. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg,
this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal wherever you get your podcasts.
And watch on Bloomberg Originals, Bloomberg Television, or BTV+.